thank our visitors. Please know that you are our honored guest, and we are glad to have you here this morning visiting with us, and you're invited to return anytime you possibly can. If you will, take your Bibles, open up to Daniel chapter 2. We're going to be basically reading most of chapter 2, because there's many things within this chapter that I believe will help us when the bottom falls out of our life, or perhaps even when the life of someone that we love, when we look around not only to our loved ones, but there are many in the world who are in darkness. They're searching for light. They're searching for understanding. And I'm, again, having an issue with my voice this morning, so please bear with me. So what do you do when the bottom falls out of your life, or the life of someone that you love? Now, I believe that the passages that we're going to read this morning teaches two important things about God. First of all, God's in control. Secondly, His kingdom will never be destroyed. There's something else I believe we can learn from Daniel that's very important, and many times it's overlooked. It's how we respond when we find ourselves in a dark or hard or difficult situation. You know, we cannot control our circumstances, but we can control our response to those circumstances. Now, Daniel and his friends found their lives were in jeopardy. Nebuchadnezzar was troubled in his spirit, and he was unable to sleep because of a dream that he was having. Notice, if we will, chapter 2, and verses 1 through 3. And in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams wherewith his spirit was troubled. Would you give me a glass of water, Dorothy? Then the king commanded all to call the magicians and the astrologers and the sorcerers and the Chaldeans for to show the king his dreams. So they came and stood before the king. Now these astrologers and sorcerers and the Chaldeans, they were brought before King Nebuchadnezzar for a very specific reason. Now notice here in verse 3, and the king said unto them, I have dreamed a dream, and my spirit was troubled to know the dream. Now, I don't know about you, but I've had dreams in the past that when I wake up, I can't remember them. Just maybe a bit in peace. You know, something, you know, I've actually had dreams where I've thought in my dream, hey, I want to remember this. Well, it doesn't happen. Poor old King Nebuchadnezzar, he's having the same problem. He had a dream, but he wasn't quite sure what to do about it. He couldn't remember it.
Thank you, Russ.
So, he brought all of these sorcerers and astrologers and all the Chaldeans. He brought them before him and said, hey, I've had this dream, I can't remember it, so I want you to tell me my dream and interpret it. Now, can you kind of understand the position that they were put in? In fact, if you read on down through here, and it basically he says, King, nobody would ever ask us to do that. No king would have us come and tell him the dream and interpret it without knowing what the dream was. Nebuchadnezzar was willing to do whatever it took to get what he wanted. Look at verse 4. Then spake the Chaldeans to the king of in Sirach, O king, live forever. Tell thy servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation. The king answered and said to the Chaldeans, the thing is, I don't remember. It's gone. If you will not make known unto me the dream with the interpretation thereof, you shall be cut into pieces, and your houses shall be made a dunghill. But if you show the dream and the interpretation thereof, ye shall receive of me gifts and rewards and great honor. Therefore, show me the dreams and the interpretation thereof. Nebuchadnezzar was ready to kill all of the wise men of Babylon because of their failure. Do you think it was too much for the wise men, the Chaldeans, the astrologers, and the toothsayers? Do you think it was unreasonable for them to ask the king what his dream was? Could you imagine the position that they had just been placed in because the king wanted them to tell him what he dreamt? They were put in a very dark place. How could they answer that king? How would they know what his dream was? But, you know, King Nebuchadnezzar, he's thinking, well, you're the astrologers, you're the magicians. You tell me. Look at verse 10 through verse 13. The Chaldeans answered before the king and said, there is not a man upon the earth that can show the king's matter. Therefore, there is no king, lord, nor ruler that asked such a thing at any magician or astrologer or Chaldean. King, you're asking too much. You literally are putting us in a position that we cannot answer you. But the king didn't care. You know, many times when we are when the bottom falls out of our life or out of the life of someone we love, many times we're in a dark place. We don't know what to do. We don't know what to answer. So go on here. Let's read a little bit more in verse 11. And it is a rare thing that the king requireth that there is none other that can show it before the king except the gods, whose dwelling is not in the flesh. For this cause, the king was angry and very furious and commanded to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. And the decree went forth that the wise men should be slain, and they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. Now, here's Daniel and his friends. They're about to be put in a situation where most of us would probably not ever want to be in. But yet here they were. Daniel and his friends, they did not panic. You know, many times when things happen in our life, the first thing we do is panic. Am I right? When bad things happen, we tend to panic. But notice that Daniel and his friends, they didn't panic. What did they do? What did they do that we can learn from them? They prayed. Let's look at verse 14 and 15. Then Daniel answered the counsel and the wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. And he answered and said unto Arioch, the king's captain, why is the decree so hasty from the king? Then Arioch made things known to Daniel. By what we just read there, Daniel and his friends were not with the king when he demanded that his dream be given to him or told to him and the interpretation with the rest of the astrologers and so forth. They weren't there. But they didn't panic when they knew that they were being sought to be put to death. They prayed. That's what they did. Daniel requested the king to give him some time so that he might show the interpretation of the dream. Look at verse 16. Then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time and that he would show the king the interpretation. Now, Daniel did not have a clue how he was going to do that. Daniel was not an astrologer. He was not a magician. He was not a toothsayer. But yet he believed that God would show him the dream. Daniel and his friends relied on God for help. They relied on God to help them during the dark time that they faced and the time that they found themselves in. They were going to be killed for no apparent reason. All because the king wanted his dream, wanted to be told what it was and the interpretation of what it was. But Daniel and his friends didn't panic. They prayed. They relied on God. Look at starting in verse 17. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they would desire mercies of God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. God wants us to pray, no matter our circumstances. And as I stated earlier, many times when things happen, unexpected things, horrible things, things that really shake our very foundation, we panic. But we should turn to prayer. And that's what Daniel and his friends did. God wants us to pray no matter the circumstances, wherever we are, whatever takes place in our life. God wants us to pray. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplications with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Is prayer our first reaction when bad things happen to us? Is prayer our first reaction when we find ourselves in situations that's beyond our control? Is prayer our first line of defense when things horribly take place? Perhaps not even in our personal lives, but those who are around us. Do we pray? Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. Pray without ceasing. This has the idea that we should always be ready and willing and able to pray at any moment. We should not only pray for ourselves and our problems. Many times we ought to be praying for the things that are taking place in other people's lives. Have you prayed for your neighbors? That maybe somehow you might be able to share Christ with them? Have you prayed for those in the government? Not only our federal government, but our state government, our city government? Do we pray for our enemies? Do we pray for those who are trying to harm us? That's what it means here when Paul writes, pray without ceasing. Pray always. Then we read in Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 and 3. Continue in prayer. And watch in the same with thanksgiving, withal praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mysteries of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. Continue in prayer. Now, I truly do believe that when Daniel went before Nebuchadnezzar and asked for more time, he had no idea if God was going to answer his prayer. But the point is, he prayed. Could you imagine what would have happened if Daniel had prayed and the answer from God was, sorry about your luck? You know, many times when we pray, the things that we pray for don't come about. Do we become angry? Do we become upset? Do we say, well, what's the use? God don't answer. Well, maybe he does, but we're not listening. What Daniel and his friends teach us, they teach us about prayer. And they teach us that prayer should be our first line of defense. Did you hear that? Prayer should be our first line of defense, not somewhere down towards the end. You know, years ago, I've not seen one for quite a long while, but years ago, and I've said this before, you used to see bumper stickers. God is my co-pilot. The idea that I have in my mind on that bumper sticker is, hey, I'm in control. God's over here in the passenger seat. You know, I'm not going to let him have the steering wheel until I'm incapable of steering any longer. What it should be, God is my pilot. He guides my life. Prayer is the first line of defense. When bad things happen to us, do we pray? Daniel and his friends, they prayed. They were facing death. They prayed. The first thing, again, the first thing that Daniel and his friends did after convincing the king for more time is pray. Look at verse 17 through 18. Again, then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they would desire mercies of God of heaven concerning the secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the men of Babylon. Our prayers should be big and bold. Too many times we pray, but we don't pray boldly. We don't pray big prayers. I'm not talking about many words. Have we prayed that the door could be opened for us here in Tipton? That souls may be saved? That's a big, bold prayer. And then do we act upon that prayer? Daniel acted upon the prayer once he received the dream and the interpretation. Daniel hadn't interpreted any dreams to this point. He'd never done it before. We need to go boldly before God's throne. Do you realize that as Christians, as the children of God, that we can boldly go before God's throne through prayer? Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Let us boldly go before God in prayer. Look at James chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask God. Let me ask you this. Have you ever prayed for wisdom? Think about it. Have you ever prayed for wisdom? If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he should receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Upbraideth, literally to reproach or mock or vile or revile. We need to go boldly before the throne of God in prayer, just as Daniel and his friends did. A man by the name of A.W. Tozer once said, Nothing is impossible to man who prays in faith, just as nothing is impossible with God. We should always praise God for answered prayers. Do we do that? If God answers a prayer, do we praise Him? Do we give thanks? Do we give glory to God for that answered prayer? Before Daniel went to Arioch and requested a presence with the king, he offered up praise to God. Look at verse 19, chapter 2, Daniel. Then when the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision, then Daniel blessed God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are His. And He changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that no understanding. Now, some may be thinking that Daniel's praise for the interpretation was easy because God answered his prayers. Well, Daniel had it easy. God answered him. God told him in a dream, in a vision, King Nebuchadnezzar's dream, and gave him the interpretation. But you know what? He was going to have to reveal that dream and the interpretation to the king. Daniel and his friends, they didn't know if King Nebuchadnezzar was going to accept what Daniel's told him. Because King Nebuchadnezzar says, I don't remember my dreams. But you know what? He did believe them. Most of you remember the dream, don't you? Remember the dream that Daniel interpreted? Remember the big statue? The head of gold? Oh, King Nebuchadnezzar, you're the head. You're gold. God has blessed you. Well, then we get down to the chest and arms and silver, being silver, the Medo-Persian empires after the Babylonian empire. And then the belly and thighs of brass, the Greek Empire. And then we have the legs of iron and the feet of iron and clay, the Roman Empire and the Roman sub-kingdoms that a great stone broke into pieces. You all know who that stone was, don't you? Christ. That his kingdom would be established and that it would never fall. We need to point people to our great God, do we not? Look at verse 27 through 30. Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, The secret which the king hath demanded, cannot the wise men and astrologers and magicians and soothsayers show unto the king? But there is a God. You see what Daniel's done here? He pointed King Nebuchadnezzar to God, not himself. He pointed him to God. But there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Thy dream and the visions of thy head upon the bed are these. And then he goes and tells King Nebuchadnezzar about his dream. How easy would have it been for Daniel to say, King, here's what I think your dream was. Here's my interpretation. Daniel didn't point to himself. He pointed to God. But there is a God. We need to point people to our God. And not to us and what we think is right or wrong. When we find ourselves in darkness, in dark places, we can choose to panic or we can choose to pray. Daniel and his friends chose to be a light by lifting up prayers to God. And I hope today we can learn from Daniel to lift up prayers and praise to our Almighty God in heaven. Let us always remember that prayer is one of the most important things that we have in our life.